I'm Pascal Liu, and I'm a trade economist at the Trade and Markets Division of FAO. FAO had a project, a technical cooperation project, between 2005 and 2009 to support export of tropical products from African small farmer groups. The project was supported by the German cooperation, and we worked in five countries: Cameroon, Burkina Faso, Ghana, Senegal, and Sierra Leone, on four value chains, namely mango, shea butter, pineapple, and cocoa. And the project was providing technical assistance and training to groups of small farmers producing these four types of commodities. For instance, in Burkina Faso, the project supported three women associations that collect and produce shea nuts to produce it and transform into shea butter. So they were trained, for instance, on how to get certification according to fair trade standards or organic standards. They were trained in organizational management, quality control, and other types of downstream activities such as export, marketing and export. At the end of the project, the last year, we had an impact assessment mission that went to the different countries and surveyed the beneficiaries of FAO's assistance. And they found out that the Women's Association had multiplied their exports by five. They had also enhanced the quality of their shea butter. And the women who were collecting the nuts were motivated to collect more nuts because they were saying, in their own words, it paid off. It really paid off more. So that was some evidence that the project had reached some of its objectives in terms of higher income for the women who are members of the associations. The association also had built their organizational capital in the sense that they were stronger and they could help their members better. The certification standards are private standards. They are by the organizations that have developed these, let's say, for instance, organic agriculture organizations or fair trade organization. In the case of the organic agriculture standard, there are also public standards. For instance, the EU has a regulation on organic certification, the US also. So there was a mix of sometimes private certification and public certification. But in all cases, the certification bodies are private. So you have to, it's a cost for the organizations of producers. They have to pay inspectors. Sometimes they have to fly them in from the importing market to the producing country. And so there are costs attached to that. And it is a challenge for these organizations to pay for the cost of certification. In the cases, though, when they got certification and they were able to export big volumes of products, then they could pay the certification fees by having, you know, higher incomes derived from exporting the products.
How do you match this constraint of having to face the global market, bigger investments, and at the same time supporting the small producer at the grassroots level?
The small producers definitely need more support at the field level. This is obvious, and they need more investment. So the need for investment is a challenge for, I think, not only small producers but all the African agriculture, because there are challenges to meet, like, you know, feeding a growing population on a relatively limited natural resource base. In order to do that, more investments are needed, but not any type of investment. We've seen that some forms of investments may carry risk for host countries and small farmers. For instance, when the land rights are not clear, when there's no good governance and no transparency, some forms of investments may lead, for instance, to eviction of small farmers from their lands. So it's very important to understand that, yes, more investment is needed, but we have to channel the capital towards the right forms of investment in agriculture. And for this, there are many initiatives ongoing. For instance, FAO, the World Bank, UNCTAD, and IFAD have proposed the principles for responsible agricultural investment that protect rights, livelihoods, and resources. And this is a set of voluntary principles. There are seven principles. to help countries have a kind of reference framework from which they can, if they want, they can negotiate investment contracts or develop laws and regulations. So that's one example. Another example is the consultation process that has been launched by the Committee on World Food Security recently, whereby it's a very broad process where all the governments that are members of FAO and the committee are together. Also, it includes NGOs, civil society, and the private sector to develop a set of principles for responsible agricultural investment. These consultations will take into account the principles that I spoke just before about, but also, for instance, other voluntary guidelines, such as the voluntary guidelines on the responsible governance of tenure of land that were endorsed by the CFS last year in May 2012, or, for instance, the FAO Right to Food guidelines. This is going to be a long process, and it is hoped that the CFS will be able to endorse these principles in October 2014. I think if we see more responsible investment in agriculture, we will see that the investors are working more with the local populations, especially with the local farmers. So that would be a first step. And if this is going to be the case, I think as a logical consequence, the products will be traded in a fairer way, probably in a way which will result in a higher share of the final price being paid to the producers. And in this case, this corresponds to the definition of fair trade, getting better value to the producers for their products. In a way, it's how to improve the terms of trade for small producers. This is what fair trade is about.